meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Christina, Tony, Daniel.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome, everybody.
Holy Thursday?
No, Christina was just...
Oh, no, because you were
welcome
saying
everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody, yeah. I mean, yeah. The people, you know, people listening.
But she was just calling it out there to everybody.
Okay.
Welcome.
So we've begun the triduum is beginning.
Tonight.
Tonight, we had the children had living stations this morning.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So it's... It was really, really nice. And anyway, but you know what? Let's pray, and then we'll go from there. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Eternal God, whose mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, Look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America, to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the freedom and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that he alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And trusting now in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
Pray for us.
Saint Stanislaus Kostka,
Pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
Pray for us.
All you angels and saints in heaven,
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right. You know what I thought we could do? I'm running all over the place since early this morning, but I'd like to just kind of get into this is Holy Thursday, and I'm going to have you guys read the readings, and then I'll read the gospel, and then I'll make some commentary on that, because this is the day that the church commemorates. Well, the Triduum, the high holy days of the year, the 3 days, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Holy Thursday, Jesus. This is the eve of his atoning death. And so he institutes the Holy Eucharist and the priesthood, and from there he has the beautiful farewell discourse and the high priestly prayer, which is absolutely beautiful. And then he'll lead the apostles down to the Garden of Gethsemane, and it's there that he's arrested, betrayed with a kiss, and arrested by the temple priest and the guards, and he's taken up to the house of Caiaphas. There he's interrogated, kept overnight, and turned over to the Romans the next morning, and again interrogated and sentenced to death. It was for this reason that he came, to offer his life in atonement for our sins. And so we'll move from that to a Good Friday, where we go through the whole crucifixion, very powerful, not a mass, but a paraliturgy, the petitions, and we'll talk about that tomorrow, and the reading of the Passion from John's Gospel. Veneration of the cross, a Holy Communion, the communion that will be consecrated this evening, and then the quiet departure, right?
Yes. And then
Go ahead.
The beginning of the novena.
And in the beginning of the Divine Mercy novena, right? Yeah. So that begins a 9-day novena to the Divine Mercy that will culminate or end on Divine Mercy Sunday, which is the octave of Easter. And then Holy Saturday, of course, the longest Mass of the year, I think, you know. But
I love that. I love the sacred triduum. It's so beautiful.
It's really nice. It's very, very nice. In a moment, we're going to take a break. I just want to, forgive me, you know, because it's just, I'm running from one thing to the next.
It's a busy week.
And I've got to be prepared spiritually and psychologically for this evening, and I feel completely depleted of energy because we're just trying to run around. Everything changes. Every day changes drastically. It happens all the time.
You know, Father, I just want to say,
go ahead,
that we want to thank God for the gift of your priesthood.
Well, thank you.
Because
today's the institution of the priesthood. Yeah,
so,
thank you.
You know how you say that you always wanted to be a pilot? Well, you are, because you're the pastor and you're piloting the parish.
Well, it's never thought of it that way.
Yeah,
that's
so you are a pilot.
You know? Yeah, we were talking about that the other day,
the
right?
The other day, yes.
But we had a finance council meeting yesterday, and anyway, it's everything's fine, you know, and all that. Yeah. But we're really, when you think of all that we do here in this parish, because we service, we minister to English, Spanish, Polish. We've got a school. Church is open 24/7. We have confessions all but 2 days, but hours of confessions. And we had a school. We have a soup kitchen, right? Mm-hmm. So we minister to the needy. But at this meeting, we're speaking about how is it that we're able to do all this? It's because, you know, you thank me for my priesthood, but I have to thank all of you for your, if I didn't have the people, the staff that I had, that I have around me, then none of this could get done, you know? And that's where I just think, you know, God has so blessed us with so many beautiful people who have their eyes all over the place on everything, and people just kind of know what to do, when to do, how to do, you know, it's really
everybody
amazing.
Everybody has their part.
Right.
We all come together.
Everybody comes
teamwork,
together, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like we're all thinking for one another, thinking for each other, right?
Yes.
So it's a really a blessing for me. As we were speaking yesterday, it was just, well, that's, this is no kudos to me, but to the people that God has placed on my path. And we just pray that we don't get in the way and that we can fulfill the mission, right?
Yes.
But it's easy to go through daily without thinking how it all works. So that's why it's good, I think.
And then we get radio, too, by the way. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But I mean, I think about that even, you know, in church, when I'm at Mass, I mean, I think, look at the beautiful people that keep everything together. Right. And sometimes you can't always thank everybody, but everybody has the right mind to do what needs to be done.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's good to think in such a way, because we're not where we were in the 1950s or the 1960s. I mean, there's been, the society has radically changed. We're in a radically secularized society. So often, you know, there's so much bad news, and statistics certainly don't give you a sense of optimism. You know, we speak about this seeming apostasy, a going away from the faith. You wonder what the future is going to be. You can't worry about that. We naturally do. Jesus says, just take it a day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today has troubles enough of its own. Suffering sufficient for the day. I'm with you today. I'll get you through this day. I'll be with you tomorrow. We'll get to tomorrow. The Lord said, when he comes, will he find faith, or hearts that have gone cold? But God always ensures for himself a remnant, a small flock, that keeps faith. And we always say, Lord, by your grace, we will keep the faith. You know, you find faith in us because by your grace. But we have to cooperate with that grace. And so it's, I always say, it's not about the numbers, you know, but it's just fulfilling the mission trying to be faithful to the God's will in our lives, collectively speaking, but also individually speaking. And not to think too much about how God is working in us and through us. It's just because we know we get in the way. We know that we can be an impediment, a barrier, an obstacle to the inner working of God's Spirit. So we're always asking God, get us out of the way. I'm certainly asking that all the time, you know, and, you know, even like a day like today, you know, I know as we approach the beginning of the Triduum, the celebration, the commemoration of the 3 days, it's, I don't feel prepared, you know, and I never do. That's the thing, I never do.
We always get by. It always comes.
It's amazing.
And it goes, like, and everything falls into place.
Yeah. Like right now, I don't feel like I'm in the right position. Sure. I'm not properly disposed, and right. I don't feel the energy, and I don't feel the, I don't really have the focus right now. But, and then that bothers me because I begin to freak out a little bit as I'm sure. anticipating.
And that's normal. And, but once you get in there, once the mass starts, you could feel God takes completely over.
It always happens, doesn't it, though, really?
And you could feel his presence. It's so powerful.
Yeah, people who have not participated in the Triduum should.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, Father, I heard you every year say, oh, you and I never understood it until you actually do it. And it,
right.
I envision in my mind almost like a mass, how you said everybody has their place. I just see people all walking in the same line or the same group through this period, this time.
Right.
It, for me especially, it's changed my life. I wish I can find the words, really, but I look forward to this every year, walking with Jesus.
Right.
And it's like even interchanging each part, I'm a different, you know, I walk in the eyes of Jesus, or I walk in one of the apostles, or I walk in, you know, the people, the bystanders, or the people that are, it's right. just getting in the story. Mm-hmm. And you've said it so many times, and I never understood it till I started doing it.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for that.
How many people have told me that too, you know, that they never knew, you know, because I don't think most Catholics participate in the whole Triduum.
No.
They'll participate in certainly on Easter, but there's a and it's kind of sad, you know, in a sense, because you come on when we get into Easter Sunday, we've already been through 3 days, very intense days of commemoration, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and many people come for the Easter Mass, not knowing what we've just been through.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. And it's right. a little bit sad because... Because
there's so much... It's our faith, how it expresses, and that the Triduum, like tonight, that's where it all begins towards the resurrection.
Right. By way of the cross.
Yes.
By way of the cross. It is interesting, too, that even... And not to say that, you know... And I know this myself because this is the way I was... I don't have that space. Now I take it upon myself to take the days off, and I really jump into this. And it's like, I believe it's like with anything. When you know your faith or you're learning about your faith, the minute you learn something and you really know what it's about, you can't go back. It's like you can't say, well, then I can't. You know how you sit on the fence and you kind of look and see, well, I wonder what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get involved, it just changes you.
Right.
It changes you for the for
it's
the
very
good.
It's very transformative.
It
absolutely.
Is. And every year it's different. It's a different experience.
Yeah.
Something you always get something. It seems like you want to know more, and your faith it deepens more and more, and you're hungry for more and more.
Right, right. It happens, and it all happens so fast, and then it's over, and then life goes on.
It's a work. Every day I'm reminded, it's a work. Sure, you know, and we talk about it. Are you happy? Are you sad? But every day is a
work in progress.
Yes, you have to get into it. Yes. Nothing. You have those moments where you do have a little peace, or you have a little.
Right.
Happiness, and you know it's not always happy.
I mean, no, life is.
No.
Life is.
But you, and God gets you through it, just like He gets you through this day. He gets you through whatever is going on.
Well,
in your life.
You see, it's the reality. The beauty of our faith is that God He condescended. He took on our flesh, and he didn't spare himself anything of what we suffer, right, even unto death. And he who didn't sin took our sins into himself in order to redeem us. He became sin. The scripture says, he who did not sin became sin. And I believe that the suffering, salvific and sanctifying suffering of Christ began in the Garden of Gethsemane,
yeah,
when he said, Father, let this cup pass me by, but not my will, but thy will be done. That was his definitive yes, or his fiat, his yes to do the will of the Father, to do what he was sent to do. It's just awesome when you think about it. And he sweat blood in the garden. But that was the beginning of the atoning, the expiatory sacrifice of Christ offered on behalf of each and every one of us to save us from our slavery to sin and death, to repair the damage that was done with the original sin, which gave birth to sin and death. And yet, you know, because we're still this side of death, we haven't yet died. Right? We have to pass by way of death, by way of the cross. And because we are sinners, we're in the battle, you know, then we, the whole messianic hour, which would be the suffering, death, resurrection, ascension, and the descent of the Holy Spirit, conferring of the Holy Spirit, that is not repeated, but it's perpetuated. It's renewed. It's represented down through history until Jesus comes at the end of the time. At the end of time, where the kingdom is fully realized. So the kingdom of God is in our midst, to the extent that we're disposed and receptive to the inner working of God's Spirit, and that we participate. We enter into that sacrifice. We give ourselves over to God, holding nothing back. And yet we know we hold things back. And so, you know, we acknowledge that before we begin Mass, as we begin Mass, that we are sinners. And even before we receive Holy Communion, we acknowledge, you know, we're not worthy, Lord, that you come under my roof. Say but only the word, and my soul will be healed. So it is a work in progress, right? We're being purified, transformed, and sanctified. Life in itself is a purifying experience. If we're disposed to the inner working of God's Spirit, then we survive. We'll survive. You know, we pick up the cross, we follow, and God, true to His words, He'll bring good out of evil. For those who love God, all things work to the good. He'll bring good out of evil, light out of darkness, and life out of death. And in that, the final reality, life out of death, encompasses good out of evil and light from darkness, right? Because ultimately, we're all going to pass that way. But and so the saint said, you know, keep that before you.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll live. It helps to put things, everything in perspective. Yeah. So because, you know, every day you're reading of it. I mean, I was just reading yesterday the I don't know if you read it. There's so many tragedies all the time. It really gets a bit depressing. But the two guys, brothers, antler hunting in California. And they got attacked by
The mountain lion?
Yeah, the mountain lion.
I saw that. Yeah.
And
one survived and the other
went after the one, and the other one went to try to save his brother, sure, and he ended up dying, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, you read that, and it's just such a tragedy. Or I just saw that, you know, these two young military women who were killed in a head-on car crash today. I think it happened.
Wow.
I just saw it. You know, so every day there's something, you know,
there's something.
And the police that was shot, I don't know where it was. I just saw it too, you know.
Or the bridge, the Francis Scott.
Well, then you get the bridge. And as we're here talking, you've got all this stuff going on in the Holy Land.
Sure, yes.
And in Ukraine. You think in Nigeria, think of the, or where is it, Boca, no. I used to think it was where Father Hervé was. Hervé was, but it's not, because he's in Benin.
He's in Benin. You're talking about Uganda, or?
No, it's another place where they're going through a kind of a major persecution as well.
Not Nigeria?
No, it's not. No. It's Nigeria, yes.
Nigeria has the Boko Haram.
Most definitely. Anyway, let's take a break. We'll come back. And I wanted, that we can at least read the readings, and then I can make some commentary on that for today. All right. So everybody, as we're beginning the sacred Triduum, don't go away. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, invites you to journey with Christ here at St. Stan's during the Holy Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. Visit ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org for the complete schedule of Triduum worship. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change. For 150 years, St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy has been an oasis that builds a moral foundation for your child based upon Catholic faith, virtue, and valor, along with strong academic preparation for children pre-kindergarten through eighth grade. Here's how you can help St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy and have a good time. Come out and play for St. Stan's Academy during the annual Casino Night Fundraiser, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Enjoy casino games, food, drinks, and great music, all while helping to support St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Now, you must be 21 or over. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is located at 1255 North Noble in Chicago. That's one block north on Noble, off Division, just off the Kennedy.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we begin the Triduum. This is Holy Thursday, and we're going to begin with the readings that are being read throughout the world this evening. In some parts of the world already, this is taking place. Mm-hmm. Who's got the first reading from the
Book of Exodus?
You want to read that?
Yeah. Okay, a reading from the Book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall stand at the head of your calendar. You shall reckon it for the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel, on the 10th of this month, every one of your families must procure for itself a lamb, one apiece for each household. If a family is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join the nearest household in procuring one, and shall share it in the lamb, in proportion to the number of persons who partake of it. The lamb must be a year old male, and without blemish. You may take it from either the sheep or the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the month. And then, with the whole assembly of Israel present, it shall be slaughtered during the evening twilight. They shall take some of its blood and apply it to the two doorstops and the lintel of every house in which they partake of the lamb. The same night they shall eat its roasted flesh with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. This is how you are to eat it, with your loins girt, sandals on your feet, and your staff in hand. You shall eat like those who are in flight. It is the Passover of the Lord. For on this same night, I will go through Egypt, striking down every firstborn of the land, both man and beast, and executing judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I, the Lord. But the blood will mark the houses where you are. Seeing this blood, I will pass over you. Thus, when I strike the land of Egypt, no destructive blow will come upon you. This day shall be a memorial feast for you, which all your generations shall celebrate, with pilgrimage to the Lord, as a perpetual institution, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Can I just say something before we move in? So that was everything in the, again, I've mentioned many times, we begin with Jesus and we read backward into the scripture in order to understand who he is and the why of what he does. Because everything is prefigured, or there's this typology, prefiguration, preparation for what we call, what we're going to be, really the triduum is, it could be summed up into the, it's the messianic hour. He came for this hour, as he says himself, I come for this hour. The hour has come. And so the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt. The story is very long, but it all begins with, God said to Moses, you know, Moses went to the burning bush that wasn't consumed by the fire, and God said, remove the shoes from your feet, you're on holy ground. And he says, you know, my people are enslaved. These are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They know that their God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they don't know who he is. They haven't encountered God. And so Moses, again, the whole story is, there's so much. We were trying to do this with the eighth graders yesterday, and it's just so much. Yeah. But the bottom line is that Moses was sent. He balked. He didn't want to go. But God said, you know, I choose you. You will do this. And he gives his consent. And but who are you that I can say who sent me? And he said, I am who am. And we'll talk about that tomorrow, I think. So he went. And eventually, you know, Pharaoh, there was this battle going on between Pharaoh and Moses, and eventually it was through the shedding of the blood of the lamb sprinkled on the doorpost that the people were finally set free, because it meant the firstborn male of every household died, except the angel passed over those homes that were sprinkled with the blood of the lamb. So they were set free from their slavery to Egypt and brought through the waters of the Red Sea, and then led for 40 years through the desert, sustained with the manna, the hidden manna, the bread from heaven, before they pass over the Jordan River into the promised land. And that's all a prefiguration of our being set free from through the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus the priest who offers himself the victim. We're set free from our slavery to sin and death to enter into this covenant. We're brought through the waters of baptism, whereby we're cleansed of original sin, brought into the mystical body of Christ, the family of God, and then we're led through the desert of life, the valley of tears, sustained by the bread from heaven, his body, blood, soul, and divinity, which is instituted at the Last Supper. Do this in memory of me. This is my flesh, my body. Eat, you know, and this is my blood, drink my blood, and you have this food unto eternity. So we're sustained on the journey so that we don't collapse, but also that we're being, again, purged and transformed and sanctified, that God reproduces his life in us, or we're being divinized. I think we were saying the other day, divinized, brought up into the life of God, Christified, to the life of Christ, and then eventually we'll pass over this life, from this life into the next, into the promised land, into heaven, if we remain in the covenant and live and die in God's grace. So in a nutshell, that's why that first reading is so significant, because the Israelites did this in memory. They relived the Exodus, And they would sacrifice at Passover an unblemished lamb until it was from this nation that all this was a preparation for, and prefiguration for God who would come to us in the flesh to bring a definitive end to the sacrifices of the lambs and an end of the priesthood in the Old Covenant by he, the really only priest, offering himself, the victim, the lamb of sacrifice in order to set us free from our slavery to sin and death. So that's just a little commentary on that first reading. But Christina, you've got, which reading do you have?
The second reading. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and, after he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also the cup, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Yeah, see, that's the new covenant. You know, I was listening to a commentary yesterday that was completely off base, you know, about this separation between, I think I mentioned this on Tuesday, but a separation between the new and the old covenant, that the old covenant was done away with. But really, it's, I think we have to, like I said, we begin with Jesus, we read backwards. But God, he formed this people, the people of the old covenant, because from this people, the Israelites, the Jews, the Messiah would come, and then the old covenant everything would come to fruition in the incarnation, God now coming and living among the people in order to atone for the sins of the people, and would then broaden the covenant to go beyond Israel, beyond the Jews, to envelop, to encompass, to Catholicize, to go to embrace all the nations. Jesus, as he says, he'd go to all the nations and preach repentance for sin, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and forgive sins. What sins you forgive, they're forgiven. What sins you retain are retained. But I think I mentioned that on Tuesday, that I think to make as I heard this commentary yesterday, to make this radical break. I mean, our Bible is the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is the greater part of the Bible. And we got four Gospels, and we have the epistles and the letters. But I show the students that, you know, with the eighth grade, I hold the Bible, like, right here, I can do it. You can't see because this is radio, but this is the New Testament. This is the Old Testament. The Old Testament is
twice as much page.
Well, three times as much.
Right.
The gospel is the gospel is a life of God in the flesh, and so we put an emphasis, so we stand when we read the gospel. But the point being, I guess, is that this, again, everything was prefigured and prepared for us in the Old Testament, and that's why Jesus, during that time of the resurrection, or even through his life, he's always referring back. Or even think of Our Lady in the Magnificat, she's the bridge between the Old and the New Covenant, and a bridge. It doesn't separate one from the other. The old morphs into the new and universal and eternal covenant. But she, in her Magnificat, says, you know, she praises God for having remembered the promise he made to our fathers to our father Abraham. So she's showing herself in solidarity with her ancestors and reaching all the way back down through history, back to Abraham. And then she's looking to the future, and she says, "All generations will call me blessed." You know, so we to this day, you know, you think of every Hail Mary that's prayed every day, and there's, you know, millions upon millions upon millions every day being prayed. What do we say? But Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So it's really you can't even understand our liturgy, the Holy Mass, without understanding the priesthood and the worship in the Old Testament, because it all comes to its fruition and its perfection in the New Covenant. That's why within Judaism there's no more priesthood, there's no more sacrifice, because it was all to culminate in God, who would offer himself the living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, his Father. And we're called to do the same, offer our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship. So we'll take a break, then we'll come back and share the gospel, and then just a little bit more commentary, and then that would kind of wrap up the show, I think, for today. So everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back on Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, invites you to journey with Christ here at St. Stan's during the Holy Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. Visit ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. For the complete schedule of Triduum worship, St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
For 150 years, St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy has been an oasis that builds a moral foundation for your child based upon Catholic faith, virtue, and valor, along with strong academic preparation for children pre-kindergarten through eighth grade. Here's how you can help St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy and have a good time. Come out and play for St. Stan's Academy during the annual Casino Night Fundraiser, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Enjoy casino games, food, drinks, and great music, all while helping to support St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Now, you must be 21 or over. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is located at 1255 North Noble in Chicago. That's one block north on Noble, off Division, just off the Kennedy.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So tonight we'll hear the gospel. This is the gospel according to John. I love John's gospel. Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew this hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. And by the way, he longed for this return to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper, took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and begin to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will understand later." And Peter said to him, "No, you will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Then, Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and head as well." And Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have the feet washed, for he is clean all over. But so you are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean. So when he had washed their feet and put his garment back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So in John's Gospel, we don't have the, you just read, Christina, the from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the Last Supper, the what Jesus, recounting what the Lord did, you know, take, this is my body that is for you, what he says, on the night he was handed over, took bread, after he had given thanks, took the bread, broke it, said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He did the same with the cup. "This is my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me. Proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." The holy sacrifice is perpetuated, represented, renewed. It's like the Israelites had to re-enter into, relive the experience of the Exodus. So we relive, enter into the sacrifice in order to then come to the table of the banquet where we're fed with the Lord. But what should characterize our lives is love. This is the washing of the feet, the humility of Jesus who washing the feet of the apostles. So what should characterize our lives is our love, which it has to be sacrificial. Love lived in humility, in gratitude, in sacrifice, to be charitable, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Let me just say a couple of things. We don't have a lot of time now, but so on this night, Holy Thursday, Jesus instituted the sublime mystery of our faith, the Holy Eucharist, the unique and distinct manner in which he'd remain with us as we make our way to the homeland. On this eve of his atoning death, after celebrating the Last Supper, he delivered a moving farewell discourse to the apostles and then offered what is called his high priestly prayer to his Father, and he prayed on behalf of all of us. In the farewell discourse to the apostles, he said it was better that he'd go in order to remain with us, to keep us strong, and to sanctify us. We're to be known in the world not only as his disciples and emissaries, but his brothers and sisters and indeed his friends. That's what he says in the farewell discourse. It was and remains the will of Jesus that he live in us and through us for the greater glory of the Father. We're always moved by the priestly prayer, because Jesus prayed not only for those apostles with him at the time, but also for those who would believe on account of their words and their witness. He had you and me in mind. In his prayer, he thanked the Father for having given us to him as a gift, and he asked that we not be taken from this world yet, for we have work to do, but that we'd be protected from the evil one. And he holds nothing back in letting us know that it's going to be a spiritual battle. Jesus acknowledged that in keeping faith, we would be as strangers in a foreign land. So he remains with us in the Holy Eucharist, the hidden manna, food for the journey, that we not collapse as we go on our way, which is his way. So we have this hidden or this mysterious food made known to us but unknown to others. And just as with the ancients of old, going all the way back to the Hebrew scriptures, in the past 2,000 years, as the covenant was established, it would be the new, universal, eternal covenant. But as with the ancients of old, this is how we are to consume. This is what really strikes me in that first reading. This is how we are to consume the sublime mystery of our faith, the Holy Eucharist. As the reading said, we are to gird our loins, sandals on our feet, and staff in hand. We eat as though we are in flight. I love that, because life is a journey. But flight, by flight, he means flight from all that is opposed to God, flight from the machinations of the devil, flight from the powers of darkness masquerading in light, flight from devouring wolves disguised as sheep, flight from those who deceive, seduce, and create the illusion that all is well and that we will be here forever when indeed this is not true. But this is not a flight from the world, because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son not to condemn but to save the world. We are in the world, but unlike most, we consciously live under the lordship of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. To generously, intimately, and actively participate in this work of salvation, which is his work. And finally, on this night, Jesus instituted the priesthood. In this time of crisis, we pray that the priesthood be restored and renewed to its proper place in the life of the church. And again, as I just said, but the priest, you know, we got to pray that we are not duplicitous or hypocritical, but that we live with authenticity. And that authenticity is realized in sacrificial love. When Jesus humbly washes the feet of the apostles, he teaches the priests to hold nothing back in offering themselves to the flock entrusted to their care. Jesus wants full possession of the life of a priest, that the people of God are properly fed and properly led. And while the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Blessed Mother, keeps priests very close to her heart, she does not give them a place at her table, but she summons them to lay their lives on the altar of sacrifice, that it be evident and clear it is not they who live, but her Son, Christ Jesus, who lives in them. And so Jesus ended his farewell discourse reminding the priests, and indeed all of us, we are not alone because the Father is with us so long as we cleave to Jesus. In this he promises us peace. He does not deceive, he said. And these were the last words he spoke. I've mentioned it many times. I mention it almost all the time at Mass. But the very last words he spoke in the farewell discourse, he says, in this world you're going to have trouble, but take courage, be at peace, for I've conquered the world. And that sentence kind of sums up the reality of life for each and every one, right? And if we have God, if we have Jesus as our Messiah and Savior, and he says what? He doesn't deceive us. He says, pick up your cross and follow me. Are you with me on that? So,
yeah.
But the farewell discourse, if you get a chance, you know, I say this every year, but just read John's the discourse, because it's so beautiful, and his high priestly prayer, because I think it's chapter 14, 15. Let's see, I got it right here. I don't remember these numbers and all the chapters, but.
It's good to read them all, 13, 14, 15, 16, just keep reading.
Chapter 14, 15, 16. Actually, the Book of Glory, it begins with chapter 13. Mm-hmm. Chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. 17 is the priestly prayer, the prayer of Jesus. And then finally, by the time you get in chapter 18, the arrest. But it's just beautiful because he's praying on behalf of all of us. He talks about, you know, in the farewell discourse, the need to be unified. We're going to be hated on account of his name. We're not going to, if we belong to him, the world is not going to accept us as its own. We will be persecuted. And again, his last words, you're going to have trouble in this world, but have courage, be at peace, I've conquered the world. And then again, in the prayer, it's just that one chapter. It's just beautiful because he says, Father, I pray not only for these. He's looking down through history. He says, but I pray for all those who are going to believe on their word. And this is the thing that I just find so beautiful. When he says, I thank you. They're your gift to me. He's speaking about all of us. If we give ourselves over to the Lord, they're your gift to me. If we respond to God's, in God's grace, return love for God's love, offer our lives to the Lord. Do every day, you know, you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is you make that offering of your life to God, God from whom we come, to whom we go, because we choose to live in him. But he says, I thank you because they are your gift to me. Can you imagine that? I thank you, Father, because they are your gift to me. And I'm not asking you to take them out of the world yet, but do protect them from the evil one, you know? So there's nothing, as I say so often, you know, the world will deceive us, the flesh will deceive us. Satan, he is a deceiver, a seducer. He creates the illusion. He's a father of lies, a prince of darkness, a prince of this world. He's also the accuser, you know. God is demanding. There's no doubt about it. He's a very demanding God. He's not permissive. But his greatest attribute is mercy, as witnessed on the cross. Father, forgive them. Well, we'll talk about the last seven words of Jesus tomorrow on Good Friday. But today it's the institution of the Holy Eucharist, Emmanuel, God with us. I will not leave, because that's what he says in the farewell discourse. I'm not going to leave you orphans. I go to prepare a place for you that where I am you will be. But I'm not going to leave you orphans. I will remain with you. I will stay with you, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And how, in the most unique, the deepest, most unique way in the Holy Eucharist, that he actually feeds us with himself, that we not collapse, and that he reproduce his life in us, that we are divinized, that we are Christified, drawn up into the life of Christ as he draws himself down into our lives. Because it's the will of God to abide within us. And again, it's all prefigured in the Old Testament, you know. Set free from their slavery through the blood of the Lamb, brought through the waters of the Red Sea. The covenant is established. I am your God, you are my people. And they acknowledge, this is now the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are your people. And then he begins to lead them through the desert, 40 years, sustained with this mysterious food, known to them, unknown to others, that they not collapse, all the while he's purging, transforming, sanctifying them until they finally pass over into the promised land. And so it is for us, in the most deepest sense, in the most real sense, passing out of this world of evil into the kingdom, which will be fully realized at the end of all things. Okay, everybody, thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The